بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, one of my beloved nephews, about whom I say that when I grow up I want to be like him, asked me a question and he said, teach me how to make dua. So I don't know if I can teach him how to make dua, but I thought let me just share some thoughts about making our dua, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Ad-du'a mukhu al-ibadah," aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dua is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah." In another place, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." He said, "Dua is ibadah." So dua is the absolute essence. It is the communication between the abd and the rabb, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slave. Dua is to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing to understand about dua is that dua is your personal communication, your personal conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put conditions for all kinds of ibadat. There are preconditions without which you cannot do that ibadah. For example, precondition for salah is wudu. Precondition for umrah and hajj is ihram, and then all that goes with it, and so on and so forth. Right? For zakat, there is a nisab after which you pray zakat and so forth. But for dua, there are no preconditions. You can make dua at any time of the day or night. You can make dua in any state. Whether you are pure, you are impure, have wudu, no wudu. You can make dua standing, sitting, lying down, running, jumping, leaping, whatnot, right? Hanging upside down in a bungee and ask Allah, how did I get here? So the thing with dua is Allah has put no conditions. And this makes, obviously this makes eminent sense, because what is dua? Dua is you are calling to Allah. So when you need to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not make sense to put a whole bunch of preconditions to say, no, hold on a second. You might be in an emergency and you might need to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but first you have to, you know, give this typed application in triplicate or something. You know, all this doesn't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want to call me, call me. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you ask me, I will give you. Call me, I will give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ يَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, I am close to him. So the first, according to me, the first condition to make dua, and rather I would sort of, maybe I should rephrase that question and say, how can I get my dua accepted? So it's not just asking dua, but also asking dua in a way where it has some chance of getting accepted. So the first condition, I think, is to build that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, this doesn't mean that if you don't have that relationship, you can't make dua. No, anybody can make dua. Allah has not put any conditions. But if you have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously it is, it's easier for you to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than for somebody to whom Allah is a stranger. So, relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means salah. It means ensuring that you do not eat or earn anything haram, which means you do not eat anything which is doubtful. Right? Eating all kinds of unknown chickens and so on and so forth is detrimental to the acceptance of dua. So be very clear about that. Anyone who is eating or earning haram, dua is not accepted. So it is very important to ensure that. Then asking, making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in focus. So Allah is not somebody who you think about or who you worship only in a formal situation when you go to the masjid, or even if you are praying at home or something because the masjid is far away, only at the time of salah. No, Allah is with you constantly. My shaykh used to say, talk to Allah all the time. So whatever you're doing, right? Talk to Allah. For example, Ashraf was playing cricket. Now there's some guy bowling in a crazy way. So, ya Allah, make this ball slow down when it comes to me. Let him throw at whatever speed he thinks. And then I shut my eyes and I hit the bat. Let the bat connect with the ball and let the ball then disappear from sight, right? So, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any conditions on what you can ask Him. So, first of all, dua is ibadah. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't put any conditions on what you can ask Him. So, ask Him anything you want. Ya Allah, please turn this phone into gold. Who says you can't ask? Huh? You can ask. I mean, I'm not saying it will happen. If it happens, then I think all of us will. But there's no harm in asking. I'm saying sincerely asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, please. So, the point is that ask Allah anything you want. So eat and eat and earn halal. This is absolutely critical. If you don't do that, if you eat and drink things which are doubtful, then believe me, your dua is no good. It's not going to go anywhere. Then, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think I mentioned some of this last a couple of days ago in the Fajr reminder, plus you heard these ayat today in Qiyam. The opening ayat of Suratul Maryam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. Nida'an khafiya, very soft voice, and in his mihrab. So he's talking about, wallahu alam, maybe in tahajjud or something, by himself, he is making dua, he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then how does he do that? He does that by putting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his own helplessness, his own weakness, right? And then he is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, Allah, you are the greatest, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and so on and so on. And he is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he is talking about his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, you have never refused my dua. Yeah, he says, you have never refused my dua. You have never rejected my dua. So his own weakness, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's also talking about his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Jalla, I only worship you. I ask help only from you. I don't go anywhere else. So now I'm asking you, give me. And then when he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with Allah's glory and majesty. He's not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinking about his own constraints. Because Zakariya alayhi salam in that dua, if you remember or know all the ayat of those opening ayat of Suratul Maryam, he says, I have become old, my hair has become white, my bones have become weak, my wife is beyond the age of childbirth. So all conditions pointing at the impossibility of having a child. Yet he's saying, oh Allah, give me a child. Give me a warith. Give me somebody to carry forward this work of dawah. And as I always say, he didn't say, give me a second wife, you know, young wife from which to have the child. Allah did not say, when you are asking me, also, why don't you please give me some ideas? Allah didn't say this. Allah is not asking you for solutions. Allah is saying, you ask me, I will give you. So you don't have to suggest some methodology for this thing. Allah, give me. But your wife is already beyond childbirth. What do I care? You are the creator. It's not my problem, right? So, asking Allah in keeping with His majesty and grace. So, who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can do anything. يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَحْكُمُ اللَّهُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Whatever He wants, He can hook, He can order, whatever He wants, He can do. And if we really believe that, then we ask Him in that way. Then with dua, is two things which I believe, which I have also learnt I'll use the Urdu words first, laad or zid. Dua mein do cheez badi ahmiyat hai, laad or zid. So showing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't do laad with anybody. I mean, it's somebody you are very, very, very close to. And then you ask them, you talk to them in a way which is very special for that particular person. And it shows your love for that person. Allah is not a person, but I'm saying this is the Lord. And Zid is repeatedly asking, no, I want this. I always say, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a little child will ask their parent. And when I say little child, I mean under 2 years old. When they get older than that, they become wise. But when they are under 2 years old, I mean, when that child is asking for something from the father or mother, there is no doubt in the mind of that child that my father can give this or my mother can give this. Whether they can actually give or not, the child has no conception of that. He is, I want it, I don't care how you give it. And that child will make the life of the father or mother miserable until they give it. He'll rave and rant and roll all over the floor and scream. And, I mean, don't do all this in Doha, but I'm saying this is what... And next thing we know, you're all doing all this and saying, oh, Shaykh, I have a daughter. So no, I'm not teaching you all this. I'm saying that when you ask with this, don't leave it. That ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With insist, no, I want this. I'm asking only you have to give me. You have to give me because I'm asking you. And then what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, keep asking dua, do not. He said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. And Allah gives you what you want, except when you leave asking what you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after some time we get tired, I've been asking this thing for so many years, nothing is happening. So I stop asking. No. And the example I always give is, take for example, this little Yusuf, he's sitting there. Now, if Yusuf goes to his dad, and he says, I want a BMW Roadster. Right? So, can I have a BMW Roadster? So, his father says, yes, you can have it. I'll give you. So, now Yusuf goes after 2 days. And he says, where is my BMW? His father will say, I'll give you. So, then he goes after another week. Where is my BMW? Father says, I told you I'll give you. So, okay. Now, he waits for a month. After 1 month, he goes, where is my BMW? Yusuf is 10 years old. Right? Or 9 years old. When do you think his father will give him the BMW Roadster? Another 10 years easy, right? Another 10 years, maybe 12, 15 years. So did his father say, I won't give it, I can't give it? No, I'll give you. But I know when is the right time for me to give you that thing. Because if I give you at this age, first of all, you can't drive it. Secondly, even if you can drive it, you'll kill yourself or kill somebody else. Or you put me in jail because, you know, how do you give a motorcycle to a 10-year-old boy? So, there are reasons. Now, does it mean that you won't get? No, you will get it. You will get it at the right time. And then, for all you know, when he's 18 or 19 or 20, his father might say, you know what, I told you I will give you a BMW Roadster motorcycle, but instead of that, I'll give you a BMW car. Right? Because motorcycles are dangerous. Next thing I know, you go crash somewhere and all that headache for me. Here's a car. So Yusuf was very happy. I asked for a bike, I got a car. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond examples and so on. We give it. But think about it in this sense. We ask for dua. How long must I ask? You keep asking. Because as long as you are asking, you are getting the reward of ibadah. So you are getting thawab, you are getting hasanat just for asking. So what's the problem with that? Keep on asking. Let Allah give whenever He wants to give. And Allah will give you when that thing is good for you. Now, having said all of this, you might find that, okay, I've been asking something for all the years and years and years. I'm not getting it and it looks like I'll never get it. Now what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, and say, take the dua of istikhara, for example, when we do the dua to make a decision. The meaning of the dua of istikhara is, oh Allah, if this thing is good for me, khairulli fi ma'ashi, fi deeni wa ma'ashi, if it is good for me in my deen and in my livelihood and so on, then give it to me. And if it is the opposite, if it is not good for me, then remove the desire for this itself from my heart. So if Allah is not going to give you something, then you will find that you really wanted that thing so badly, but you really don't want it that badly anymore. And there's no feeling of disappointment and being let down and so on and so forth. Final point as far as dua is concerned, the hadith of Nabi ﷺ, which I mentioned to you before, but let me say that to complete this whole thing. The Sahaba asked Nabi ﷺ, they said, Ya Rasulullah, same question which, we ask. They asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we make dua and some of our duas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. We get whatever we ask for. In other cases, we do not get what we ask. So, how do we reconcile that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Uduni astajib lakum," you ask me, I will give you, but We find that some things we have asked over and over again for many years, we don't get them. So how do we reconcile this thing? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. First and foremost, to understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all du'as. So if Allah said, I will accept the du'a, He will accept the du'a, whatever the du'a is. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, however, Allah accepts du'as in three ways. So all are accepted, but three ways. One is, I ask for something and I get it. Whatever it was, I ask, Ya Allah, make this gold, it becomes gold. So I ask for something and I get that thing. Ya Allah, I have a problem, I have a disease, I have an ailment, please take it away, it goes away. Whatever the dua might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it and you get what you ask. Second one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask for a dua, and Allah does not give you what you ask for, but at that time in your qadr, there is a calamity that was to befall you, but because you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a dua, instead of giving you what you asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that calamity. So I'm driving down the highway and there is a 16-wheeler coming 90 degrees and there is an intersection, and on this intersection I am destined to become part of the grill of the 16-wheeler, but I made this dua, so now I get past and the 16-wheeler goes behind me and my car kind of shakes like that, so I get a nice thrill of having just missed death by a hair's breadth, right? So this is the second way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. The third way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua is, Allah does not give you what you want. There is no calamity at that point in time. And so that dua is there. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is something that is going to happen to all of us inshallah. We ask Allah to make that the best day of our lives, because we will meet our Rabb jalla jalaluhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you these three things. He will say, oh my slave, you asked me for this and I gave you. Then He will show you the calamity. We don't know that this calamity is going to happen, right? So Allah will show you that. He said, this other thing you asked me, and at that time, this is something that was going to happen to you, and I removed it. He said, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, I am grateful to you, this happened. The third thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh my slave, you asked me for this thing, I did not give it to you, and in your qadr, there was no calamity at that time. That dua, therefore, is still with me. Now ask me what you want and I will give you. Now, where is this happening, this conversation? On the day of judgment before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now ask me and I will give you. So at that point in time, when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now ask me and I will give you, O my nephew, who I want to become like when I grow up, what are you going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please forgive my poor uncle and put him into Jannatul Firdaus with Arabi Ghairi Hisab. Yes or no?
Yes.
Ungrateful wretch, say yes. Right? Anything you want. Having said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you knew the value of this, listen to this carefully. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you knew the value of this, value of what? Value of not having your dua accepted in this life, and this dua is with Allah, and on the day of judgment, Allah is saying, here is this dua you asked me, now ask me whatever you want and I will give you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you knew the value of this, you will wish that you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously in your life, your whole life, and not even one is accepted in this life. Not even one. Every dua I make is not accepted in this life, but it is waiting for me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if you understood the value of this, this is what you will wish, that I don't want any dua to be accepted here. I want it all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us whatever we ask Him with khair and afia in this dunya, and to keep some of that with Him to give us on the day of judgment, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all that you ask Him, and we ask Allah to then increase it from His generosity and His grace and His magnificence. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.